Thanks so much for staying with us here on Wisconsin Public Radio News. Larry Mueller here. We're going to turn our attention to small animals, hamsters, rabbits, and guinea pigs. They can be great pets because, I don't know, they're quiet. They don't take up a lot of space. But you know what? They still require loving and attentive care. And we're going to be talking about that, some of those smaller animals you might have as pets, with our guest, Dr. Laura Russo-Clister, with us. She's a veterinarian at North Heights Veterinary Clinic in Appleton. She's been there, I think, about 12 years or thereabouts, and has a greyhound named Lupe, and she also has a calico cat named Princess Buttercup. But she takes care of many of these small animals. And I hope you'll join in with your questions or comments. You have a guinea pig? How do you care for that? Or a hamster? Wondering what kind of food you should be feeding your tiny friend. Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@WPR.org. That's WPR. talk@WPR.org. Dr. Laura Russo-Clister, welcome. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So we're going to focus on hamsters and rabbits and guinea pigs today. Before somebody adopts one of these small animals, what should they be considering?
Well, I think it's the same kind of things you need to think about before you bring any pet into your home. You need to think about, do I have the space? Do I have the time? Do the other inhabitants of my house, are they compatible with the type of animal? So do I have a big dog who really likes to chase tiny things? You know, if that's the case and we still want that little pet, do we have a way to keep that pet safe? Do I have small children? Can I keep my new little pet safe from the small children? And then also just generally, you know, we have to think about, how do we care for these creatures? Because I think a lot of people think, oh, they're small, they don't take up a lot of space, they don't need much. And we don't always think about what exactly they need to be as happy as possible.
And, you know, when I think about care, here you are at North Heights Veterinary Clinic, and you have the ability to treat these small mammals. And I'm wondering, how common are clinics like yours? Would any vet be able to help with an animal like perhaps a hamster?
You know, it depends on the comfort of the individual veterinarian. So, for instance, we have 6 veterinarians here, and 2 of us will see small mammal patients. I know there are definitely a lot of clinics out there that really only want to focus on dogs and cats. So it's not a bad idea, before you want to have a pet like that, to see if you have a vet in your area who will take care of a small animal pet.
Yeah, that's for sure. Let's take them one by one, maybe a little bit. Rabbits. Let's start with rabbits, mostly because I had rabbits when I was a young guy. Describe the routine veterinary care for a rabbit's needs.
Yeah. So at least in our practice, any pet, we do recommend a yearly wellness exam, the same as you would for a dog or a cat. So that includes, you know, we do a full, what we call a husbandry review. So husbandry is all of the things that go into care and keeping of an animal. So we go through their diet, their housing, their bedding, their, you know, just everything that we're doing. So to take care of them at home, we do a physical examination. So our small animal pets don't necessarily need all of the same kind of parasite screening all of the time that you do for, say, a dog or a cat, where we'll do heartworm testing or we'll do stool samples for parasites. We don't necessarily always need to do that with a rabbit, but there is now a vaccination for rabbits that's becoming an important thing to do. I don't know if you've heard of this before, but so there's an emerging disease that has been present in Europe and Asia for at least 10 years that started in wild rabbits. it has been seen now in the United States, and it's making its way from the West inward. So it's rabbit hemorrhagic disease virus. It is so spread by wild rabbits, but if any pet rabbit were to go outside or to be given grass that had been contaminated or anything like that, they can get this disease. And the first sign of the disease is usually sudden death. So
Oh.
it's really important now that we have a vaccine for that disease to have your rabbit vaccinated for that on a currently it's every 6 months to get boosted. I think in the future it'll probably be down to once a year.
Well, man, that's something, yeah, to really be concerned about. And there's a good vaccine for it, so there we go. It's that's the good news there. One of the fun facts that I learned when I w had rabbits was their teeth are constantly growing. And there are some, you want to make sure those rabbits' teeth are at a healthy length.
So that's true actually of our guinea pigs as well. Their teeth continuously grow, and that's because they eat really rough food that grinds down their teeth, which means we need to make sure that they're eating the right kind of rough foods that grind down their teeth appropriately, which means that the bulk of their diet needs to be hay. There's the pelleted foods that you can feed to rabbits and guinea pigs. And in moderate or small, appropriate amounts, they're good for them as far as vitamins, minerals, et cetera. But the thing that's really going to keep their teeth healthy and in a good alignment is going to be eating free choice hay. So access to hay at all times because they just need to be chewing most of the day.
Yeah, I grew up on a farm, so that was never a problem for us.
Yeah, so now people so as far as food products in general for all of our small rodents, Oxbow is a brand that does an excellent job. They sell hay, they sell the pellets, they have vitamin tablets for guinea pigs. So if people are looking for a recommendation, usually we'll say if you're looking for hay, you're looking for pellets, get the Oxbow brand.
What about, I don't think I ever gave a rabbit a bath, to be perfectly honest. But I imagine this day these days maybe you need to give a rabbit a bath once in a while. Mine seem to be really good at cleaning themselves.
Yeah, I think they're a little bit more along the lines of a cat where you don't do it unless you really, really have to do it.
Yeah, and then I would imagine it's almost like trying to give your cat a bath.
Well, yeah, we do have that be where maybe a rabbit needs to get cleaned up. What can happen sometimes is if their litter box doesn't stay clean enough, or if they are a long-haired breed, they can get pretty caked back around there with like fecal matter back
Yeah.
around their private areas. We can have them brought in to the vet and we will deal with kind of clipping and cleaning that because no, rabbits don't like that.
The one of the things I think I was always pretty good at was making sure there was water available, and they do need water.
Absolutely. Yep, at all times.
And I would let mine out of the cage, out of
Yeah,
their
so
cages.
actually that's so whether regardless of how big of an area you have for them, it is really important for them to get out and hop around for a couple hours, at least a few times a week, if not daily. It's for people, so house rabbits are getting to be a pretty big trend as far as keeping rabbits, where they're either free roaming all the time or they have run of a room or a part of a house for a good chunk of the day. And that's really good for them for their intestinal tract, especially. So their digestion kind of depends on eating hay, having healthy teeth, and then getting out and getting that exercise.
Yeah. How social would you describe them? I always had I never had less than two. I never had just a single rabbit, but how social do you think they are, and should they be bought in pairs?
Yeah, so rabbits are actually a social animal. They do enjoy each other's company, and keeping them in groups of two or three is probably their ideal setup. If you are only going to have one rabbit, you're going to have to expect to be even more having more social time with them, because then you are their social outlet.
Our guest today, Dr. Laura Rosso-Clister, a veterinarian at North Heights Veterinary Clinic in Appleton, and we're zeroing in on what George Villara likes to call the pocket pets, in a way, the rabbits, the hamsters, and the guinea pigs. Do you have one of those, or would you like to have one of those? Maybe you have some and you're wondering about health or care needs. Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or shoot us an email. Email address, talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Great to have you along today on WPR News. We're talking about caring for rabbits and hamsters and guinea pigs. And if you have a question, I hope you'll join in. Number to call, 800-642-1234, or you could email us, the email address, talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. I was going to turn to guinea pigs, and here's Barb in Westcott with a question I think that relates to guinea pigs. So let's go there. Hi, Barb. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Okay, so I've got a guinea pig we've had for almost a year. It was my grandson's, and when he moved into an apartment, he would have had to pay like $125 extra a month for a guinea pig. So he said, "Grandma, can you please take him, Carl?" And I said, "Yes, I will." So I'm now the proud owner of Carl. I love him to death. He still will not let me pick him up. And it'll be a year in August, so it's not quite a year. But, yeah, he's quite bashful. I can pet him. He zooms around. He's free range in the bedroom, and he does his business in his cage, so he can jump in and out of the cage. Bathing. I need to know about bathing, too. Does he need to be bathed?
All right. How does Barb get Carl to allow her to pick him up?
Yeah,
and what about bathing? Yeah.
Sure. Well, the bathing is, I think, the easier question. So guinea pigs will, you can bathe a guinea pig. You would do a really shallow, like an inch or two of water that they can just walk around in, nice and warm for them. You can soap them up with some baby shampoo. And the important thing is, after you rinse them, that you keep them nice and warm until they're all the way dry, because they can get cold easily. So usually keep them wrapped up in a towel, or you can blow dry them. You don't have to bathe them, but especially if they're getting kind of dusty or crusty, then you can go ahead and do that. If you need to brush them, a toothbrush works really well. So, but it's not a requirement. As far as taming a guinea pig, for one thing, you don't have to be super worried about them biting you. Usually they're just gonna make a lot of noise and squiggle around. So a lot of times if he trusts you enough to let you get your hands on him, you might be able to just kind of pick him up and then get him cradled into a nice, really supported position. And if you do that every day for a while, he'll start to get the idea, oh, this getting picked up thing isn't that bad.
Yeah.
So that's probably where I would start.
Do they are there treats that guinea pigs like, Dr. Laura?
Yeah, so this is actually kind of an important question for both guinea pigs and rabbits. So they're... their nutritional needs in some ways are pretty similar. So we want to avoid with them Anything sugary or starchy as much as we can. So I know at the pet store you can get these different like yogurt chips and different kinds of treats that way. I would tend more towards if there's a type of green or a vegetable that they like a lot, or if we're not overdoing it, you can do a little bit of apple, you can do a little bit of like a strawberry or something like that. So more of like a natural fruit or vegetable treat. We also though have to be really careful about how much treats we're giving our rabbits and our guinea pigs. Even like say a carrot a day, that's going to be way too much for them, and it can cause diarrhea and it can cause stomach problems. So we want to lean more towards the greens and the veggies.
I was thinking that maybe if Barb got Carl up on her lap and she had a strawberry or something that she could.
Oh, yeah.
Save the treats for when Carl's on the lap.
Yeah, exactly. The same as you would with a dog or a cat.
Yeah. Although I got to tell you, Barb, I've got a cat named Tiger that is 12 years old, and Tiger likes to sit right next to me all the time. But as soon as I try to put Tiger on my lap, Tiger runs, will not do it. So I think there's some personality involved with Tiger, and I'm wondering with that cat. The other one loves to sit on my lap. And maybe that's true with guinea pigs, too?
Oh, yeah, they definitely have personalities.
you might have some trouble with that, Bar. Does all this help, by the way?
It does. It is helping. I was going to say, when I do finally get to pick Carl up and put him on my lap, he'll snuggle with me. It's just the idea of... Yeah, he loves to snuggle. He'll climb into my shirt and up on my shoulder, and he's as happy as can be. But just
so some of that is guinea pigs too. They're not always going to just come up to you and ask to be held. Some of it is, I think, just their dignity as a guinea pig. They have to run away, but if you catch them, then okay, this is fine.
It's really interesting, Barb. Thanks a lot for calling and. I'm glad you got. I think Carl got lucky there when he got you for a second owner. How long do guinea pigs typically live, Dr. Laura?
Yeah, they can live between 4 and 8 years. I've definitely seen guinea pigs older than that, but if you want to budget, 5, 6, 7 years is probably average.
What are the signs that your guinea pig might be unwell or needs to be taken to the vet? I mean, you're probably, I'm sure the once a year is probably a good thing, but what if in between times?
Yeah, so this is true for both guinea pigs and rabbits. The most crucial thing is if they are not eating and they're not defecating, that is a sick guinea pig, that's a sick rabbit. They need to be seen as soon as possible. So guinea pigs and rabbits, the way their GI tract works, they need to be eating pretty constantly in order for it to stay healthy and keep moving. They can enter something called GI stasis, where their digestion processes just stop. That can be triggered by all sorts of things, by eating too many treats, all the way to having some other type of life-threatening illness, like a GI obstruction or a liver lobe torsion. It can be along that whole range of things, but if they stop eating, that can actually kill them before whatever else is wrong with them does. So if they are not eating their hay, or if you're noticing that they're not producing poop, they need to go in.
And what do you do when they come to see?
So as far as, and that's kind of like the most common and serious problem we'll see with rabbits and guinea pigs. So it's two things. One is we are trying to figure out what triggered it, what's going on with them. But then the other thing is we need to support them nutritionally and usually pain-wise, because GI stasis is painful and the pain will also keep them from wanting to eat and perpetuate the problem. So we call it assist feeding. It's kind of like force feeding is the mainstay of treatment. So if they're not going to take in food on their own, we're going to keep supplying it. There are, and this is something we recommend that all owners of rabbits or guinea pigs potentially just have on hand in case they can't get into the vet right away. There are these critical, so Oxbow makes a critical care herbivore, or there's Emerade critical care, and it's a powdered food that you mix with water and then you syringe feed it into their mouth. They don't really like it. You usually have to wrap them in a towel and make a little burrito out of them so that you can force feed them. You feed them about every 4 hours until they start to want to eat on their own. So that's the support. And then we also, you know, we might have x-rays, we might have blood work, things that we need to do to figure out why this is going on. Oh, I'm looking at their teeth, because it can also be a teeth, like sometimes it's a tooth issue.
Stephanie emailed us, their 9-year-old rabbit's spine is calcifying, so the vet gave them gabapentin and meloxicam for the pain. Unfortunately, they've been unsuccessful in giving her these meds, which are in liquid form. They tried the bunny burrito, and she's totally uncooperative, and they're afraid of how angry and upset she gets. She, for a couple of weeks, she was taking them mixed in with banana or mango or apple, and now she refuses those too. They don't want her living in pain. They believe in quality of life is more important than quantity of life. Are they? Would you euthanize if they just can't get their pain or medication?
You know, I think this is a question, you know, a lot of the things in veterinary medicine, it doesn't matter what the species, we kind of run into these conversations, right? So I think that usually comes down to an individual conversation with your veterinarian about it, because is there maybe a better technique that we could be doing to try to get the medication in? Sometimes we'll do training sessions with owners. We'll have a technician go in there with the owner and make sure that they know how to get the med, how to do the burrito properly, how to put the medication in. So sometimes it's a technique thing, but I think anytime you're talking about an animal that's in pain that we can't help, then sometimes we do have to make that sad but necessary decision.
Yeah. So, and a lot of times it's the owner that knows when it's probably the best time. Yeah.
Well, right. Yeah.
Hamsters, we haven't mentioned them yet. How they, and they probably need a yearly checkup as well, I'm guessing.
Yeah, so hamsters, they actually, they only live between 1.5 and 3 years.
Oh,
so
okay.
They have a much, they have a much shorter lifespan. Generally, we do, I think it's a good idea if you're getting, anytime you get a new pet, to get them checked out. Just to screen for any issues, especially like any, our hamsters, our guinea pigs, our rabbits, they can carry ringworm, they can carry fleas, things that you might not want to bring into your house. So at a minimum, you want them checked out when you purchase them. If you have, so if you have a, there's actually multiple types of hamsters, there's different species, but they can be divided into the Syrian or golden hamster, which is kind of a bigger hamster, and they can live for 3 years. All of the dwarf species, they're smaller ones, they only live about a year and a half or so. So at a minimum, you do want to get them checked out when you get them. And then if you've got a Syrian hamster, a yearly exam's not a bad idea.
And they're nocturnal, aren't they?
They are.
So what about playing with them?
Well, right, that's the thing. So you can rouse them, as long as you're kind of gentle about it. Don't just kind of startle them awake, because then you might get bit. But yeah, the better time to be playing with them would be like later in the evening. Because yeah, they're not gonna feel too playful being woken up in the middle of the day. It's kind of like me coming into your bedroom at midnight and being like, hey, let's go play now, you know?
And their claws, I mean, they're small. Do you need to cut their claws?
You can need to cut them. You'll have, you'd have to look at them. So that's true. Guinea pigs and rabbits also definitely need their nails trimmed. Hamsters can need their nails trimmed. So the biggest, the most important thing in order for being able to know that, is hamsters are a little harder to make, to like maintain tameness. They, if you ignore them for a while, they're going to kind of forget that they were tame. So if you're going to have a hamster, it's kind of important to have a regular schedule of daily taking them out and playing with them, preferably later in the day, since then they're more likely to want to be awake.
Well, I tell you what, this has been most interesting, but the time flew. I hope we can have you back and talk again when we have more time. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
It's been a lot of fun. Dr. Laura Russo-Clister is a veterinarian at North Heights Veterinary Clinic in Appleton. It was really fun talking with her, and maybe get her back and do this again. Looking tomorrow, we look into the wild world of the Mississippi River from Minnesota to the Gulf of Mexico, and then you'll hear about travel destinations off the beaten path right here in the Midwest. Thank you for listening today. Stay with us. Lots in store. I'm Larry Mueller.